Apostle Paul admonishes that we fight the good fight of the faith. Fight the good fight of the faith and lay hold on eternal life. See it. This is our calling. We are called to fight the good fight of the faith and to lay hold on eternal life. Eternal life. You see, we've always thought that eternal life means continuing in your present state forever. It means that, you know, prolonging your life infinitely. See, some people want to get as old as Methuselah. They think that is eternal life. Just look at the world today. The struggle of every man is how he can prolong his life upon the earth. The movement here and there, hospital to hospital, drug to drug, research to research, experiment upon experiment, precaution upon precaution, everything is aimed at prolonging the life or immortalizing as much as possible that which is mortal. That is the occupation of most men. Of course, we know that the fear of death is what rules, is what reigns in this present world. Every man is afraid to die. Every man is afraid to lose what he thinks is his life. You see, but James says, you read this in James chapter 4, verse 14. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little while or a little time and then vanished away. That is the life of a man. It is like a vapor that appears for a moment, after which it vanishes away forever. Forever and forever and forever. Never to come back in that form again. It's very interesting. See, but yet, every man struggles to prolong that life. Well, somebody said, well, look, anyhow, at least I would like to get up to 80 years, to 90 years, to 100 years. But I can assure you that when you get to 100 years, you will still want to add one more year to that, and you will keep continuing and continuing. Because as a man, in that state, as a man, without true enlightenment, there is no way you can want to leave that which you have for that which you do not know. Ask Methuselah that she lived, or Methuselah lived many hundred years. Now, ask Methuselah. She wanted to die at that age. She probably wanted to live longer than she lived. So let us not think that you can ever get satisfied with living, you know, upon the earth. You can never be satisfied. see, you ask the man out there who is suffering in some kind of famine in Africa or in India, somebody who has been through so much disease and sickness, who has been through much pain, ask him if he wants to die. Most of them in the right frame of mind will say they don't want to die. So every man seeks to prolong his own life upon the earth, his human life upon the earth. You see, we're going to be shocked that this is not the gospel that Jesus Christ brought to the world. Of course, we're not saying that, you know, it's wrong living old or long, it's wrong living, getting advanced in age. We're not saying that. But we're trying to say, let the focus and the understanding be put in the right perspective. The gospel of Jesus Christ came to reveal what we call life according to the Father. The Father is the author of life, and I tell you, life, true life, true life came to light through the revelation of Christ, the Son of God. That true life of God, that true eternal life, came to light. It was brought to our awareness through Jesus Christ. So you see that all those Old Testament characters never knew what eternal life was. Moses never knew what eternal life was. Eternal life came to light through the gospel. We have an understanding of eternal life only because this mystery was unveiled to us by the appearing of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ defines eternal life. In John chapter 17 verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Are you listening? This is eternal life. Eternal life is not continuing 100 years or 200 years upon the earth. Eternal life is knowing the true God and Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now you see, when Jesus Christ was speaking these words, he was not speaking to the unbeliever, because the natural mind cannot understand the things of the Spirit. Jesus Christ here was speaking in a celestial tongue. Those statements he made were not statements that the natural mind can ever understand. Of course, when the natural mind reads this, he will picture Jesus of Nazareth and God the Father in the sky. The natural man will say that knowing Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus Christ who was born of a woman a couple of thousand years ago, the natural man will say knowing that Jesus and knowing God in the sky is eternal life. That is the natural mind, and the natural mind is veiled. It cannot know the things of God. See, Jesus Christ was speaking with a spiritual language here, with the language of the Spirit. See, And it says that eternal life is knowing the mystery of the Son of God, Christ, which is Jesus, and knowing the true God. Now, you cannot know the Father and not know the Son. And you cannot know the Son and not know the Father. And let me tell you, knowing is not something that is just for head knowledge. You can only know this mystery experientially. Hallelujah. You can only know this mystery experientially. And that is your eternal life. That is the gift unto eternal life. Getting this revelation, knowing this revelation within yourself. Because when Jesus Christ says eternal life is knowing the true God and Jesus whom thou hast sent, he's not speaking about himself after the natural. He's not pointing to himself, but rather he's speaking here about the Christ in you. See, Jesus Christ already walked in that revelation. Jesus Christ, born of a woman, born in a manger, already had that mystery working for himself. Jesus represented the awoken consciousness. He was awake to this great mystery and revelation of the Son of God in him. When he says, I and the Father are one, he could only confess that because he was awoken from the dead. He was walking in the light, in the revelation light of truth. That is why he could do things that no man could do. Jesus Christ walks in that eternal life. Even right here upon the earth, during those days of his ministry, that was the eternal life of God being made manifest. That life, John defines it in 1 John, that life, which was in the bosom of the Father from the beginning. Hallelujah. We have seen it. We have touched it. That was the life that Jesus manifested. Jesus Christ manifested the secret of Christ and his Father. Because if you want to ever see the Father, you must see the Son. Because the Father is invisible. It is the Son that reveals the Father. And the Son and the Father are one. They are indivisible. Jesus Christ did not walk according to his humanity. He did not walk according to his, you see, that natural identity given to him by birth, but rather he walked according to the revelation that was given to him from the Father. Hallelujah. He knew the mystery of the Christ in himself, that I and the Father are one. That is eternal life. That is the life that never passes away. Jesus Christ, during those days of his ministry, walked in union with the Spirit of the Father. And the same way he walked those 3 years is the same way he's walking today. It never changes. Hallelujah. The same words he spoke some thousands of years ago are the same words he's speaking today. The same way he saw things a couple of thousand years ago is the same way he's seeing them today. Praise God. And that eternal life has been made available to us today. Praise God. The Son of God is being revealed from heaven to deliver man from the power of the grave. By this revelation of the Christ within, the revelation of I, the Son of God. This is the key to deliverance from hell and death, from the power. of the grave. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ made some other statement. He says that the world does not know God. Now, what does it mean the world does not know God? That means the world does not have eternal life. The world does not know the mystery of the Father and the Son. The world does not know the true God and Father of the Lord Jesus. The world does not know the mystery of the Son of God. It does not know Christ. Don't be deceived that their religion does not know Christ. That thing that they pray to and all that they call Jesus in the sky, they don't know Christ. See, Orthodox religion, Christianity, does not know Christ. It's just a projected idol in their minds that they worship and pray to and sing to. They do not have the revelation of Christ. The world does not know you, Father, but I have known you. See, now if the world does not know God, that means the world is dead. The world does not have eternal life, and we know he was revealed to give eternal life to as many that receive him. He was revealed to quicken the dead, those who are in their graves, those who the grave reigns over. Hallelujah. The whole world is a graveyard. Where corruption reigns. Where the worms do not die. When men are cut off, separated in their minds from the bountifulness, from the love, from the graciousness of the living God. Hallelujah. Praise God. When Adam transgressed, he died. When he started to take the fruit of mortality, when he started to fellowship with men, when he started to walk as a man, he died. He was buried. The grave started to reign over Adam. Adam became subject to hell and death. God. That was where sorrows, pains, tribulation without end started. And you know, men in their graveyards are trying to solve the problem in their graveyards. So there's no way you can solve your problem there in the graveyard, there in your grave as a man. See, the graveyard, the grave represents thick darkness, total ignorance, where men are subject to vanity, men are subject to things that are not. Praise God. Ecclesiastes says, you read this in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10. He said the grave, you see it, in the grave there is neither work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. That is where men live in. There is no knowledge, no wisdom. Paul says that everything is coming to what? To naught. The wisdom of this age is coming to what? To nothingness. Everything that you set out to achieve, everything that you set out to do as a man, If it is done outside Christ, outside the Son, if it is done outside this eternal life that is being revealed to us today, it is coming to what to enough. All the things we set out to achieve as men, to gather unto ourselves as men, is all a sowing to the wind. For this cause, Jesus Christ says, labor. Do not labor for the things that perish, but rather labor for that eternal life which the Father has given to us. And we know that eternal life which the Father has given to us is the Christ within. It is the revelation of the bread of life within. It is the revelation of the Son of God in you. Labor. Your laboring is to get this revelation straight. Your laboring is to believe the Father. See, your laboring is to exercise yourself in the faith of our Lord Jesus. Exercising yourself in the faith of the mystery of Christ in you, and walk in it in the midst of a perverse generation. Hallelujah. He has brought to light immortality and life. He has brought to light that light realm of Eden, of bliss, joy, perfection, gladness, love, singing, melody. All that is embedded in this eternal life that is being revealed to us in this hour by the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of light, and that perfect gift is the revelation of the Son of God in you. Is the revelation of the light in you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou shalt show me the path of life. In thy presence is what? The fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. See, the Holy One of God is the Son of God. The Holy One of God is Christ in you, your true identity. Hallelujah. See, holy, perfect, without guile. Holy unto the name of the Lord. Holy unto the eternal Spirit of God. Thou shalt not allow that one to see corruption. Hallelujah. Our souls was languishing in the lower places of the earth, in the grave, likened to hell, when we walked in the ignorance of Christ, the light of the world. But this is eternal life, that we may know. This is that life of God, that we may get the revelation of the Holy One of God, the Christ within. This is the revelation that lifts us up out of that sticky realm of hell, that dimension where men forget God, the dimension of forgetfulness, where men lose all awareness of what God is. Hallelujah. Our victory over the grave comes by getting this revelation straight. Hallelujah. The book of Corinthians, chapters we've read over and over again, and we will read them again and again. Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53. for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Praise God, it doesn't end there. It says the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See the victory over the power of the grave. See, this is what men have been fighting for over the ages, isn't it? Men go to and fro seeking on ways to prolong their lives, to immortalize themselves. You see, but where men get it wrong is that they fail to realize that the thing that they are seeking everywhere, seeking in churches, seeking in, in the houses of guru men, seeking in the house of medicine doctors, in hospitals, the thing that you are seeking for is already present in you. See, to have the victory over the power of the grave, over corruption, over the things that hold men in this world, to have that victory, we must first of all get the revelation of Christ. It says here that our victory is through our Lord Jesus Christ. What it means to say is that our victory is through the revelation of the Lord's body. Our victory is through the revelation of the mystery of Christ. Our victory over the power of the grave. Where all the men of this age languish in the transgression of Adam, is in our ability to awaken into the mystery of Christ. That is why Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the eternal life. You cannot get back into that union with the Father except through me. You cannot ascend into the Father except through me. I am the door. I am the key. Out of the realm of the grave, where men languish in sin and in death. So it is the revelation of Christ, our awakening to the reality that Christ is our identity. Christ represents the image and the likeness of God. Let us make man in our image and our likeness. That is Christ. That is you and I. But we were asleep in the grave, deep asleep, and we are absent from this mystery. Consciously absent from this mystery. That's why we suffer the things that we suffer as men. Hallelujah. But the God will not leave our souls in hell. That is why the revelation of Christ has come now. That's why the Father said, let there be light. He has caused the light of the revelation of Christ to shine in us, so that we can wake up once more into the reality of who we are. It is by this revelation that we find escape from hell, escape from the death, from the realm of death. It's by this revelation that we inherit that eternal life that we lost in Adam. That life without guile. Praise God. See it. Paul says here that, see it, O death, where is thy sting? Where is thy victory? You see it? Hallelujah. And the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Now we must understand that the law and the sin becomes alive only as a man deviates from his true identity in Christ. Because the law of God is personified in Christ, the Son of God. See, the law of God is personified in Christ. See, we were not born to walk or to respect any law. The only commandment God asks us of us is that we walk in truth. And today we know Christ is the truth. See, the laws, like those laws that Moses brought to this world, where he says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt do this, thou shalt do that, comes alive only as man loses a revelation of the mystery of Christ, which in reality is himself, because Christ is your identity. When a man loses the revelation of Christ, his identity, he automatically becomes subject to law. He now begins to observe law. Don't do this and don't do this, or do this or not do that. He now tries to labor to please God. He now tries to labor to be agreeable with God. He now labors to kind of obey commandments, to be justified with God. See, but if a man walks in originality, in the truth, in the way God generated him, which is the image and likeness of God, he does not have to obey. The law does not exist, because the law itself is embodied in him. He spontaneously lives the law. Because when you live the life of the Spirit of Christ, you actually live the life of the Spirit, and you realize that you are one spirit with God. And when you are one spirit with God, the laws of God, the laws of the Ten Commandments and all those things are fulfilled in you. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's fulfilled when you walk in the Spirit automatically. When you walk in the Spirit, you are already one with your neighbor. You don't have an independent self from God. So how can you love another apart from God? How can you go against your neighbor when you are one with your neighbor? If you go against your neighbor, you are going against yourself. So you see that the law of God is fulfilled in Christ. See, and where there is no transgression against the law, there is nothing like sin. And where there is no sin, there is no death. So our liberation from the grave and the mystery thereof, the misery and the pain thereof, our liberation comes by awakening to truth. We are losing. Those who are appointed to die, those who are perishing, languishing in the transgression of Adam, in the graveyards, far away from the reality of God, annihilated from the life of God. You see, in the torments of this world, fear, darkness, sin consciousness, You know, sin weakens a man. See, sin makes you miserable. See, this sin consciousness is what actually snatches away the all power of God from man. Do you know men are gods? Do you know men know all things and can do all things? Do you know that? But sin consciousness, see, it saps away all that vitality, all that goodness, all that grace of God from a man. And you pine away and you waste away in the graveyard of humanity, far away from the life of God. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the grace. Those appointed to death are being loosened right now. Those in the graves, hallelujah, are being loosened and brought forth once more, so that they can declare the beauty and the glory and the power of God from generation to generation. Hallelujah. This is the eternal life God came to reveal. This is the eternal life that God has given to us. It's already embedded in us. See, but we must allow the Spirit of God to loosen us. Hallelujah. Allow the voice of God lead us out of the grave. See, praise God. When we walk in the ignorance of God, you see, if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, when we walk in the ignorance of God, when we walk in the ignorance of Christ, when we walk in the ignorance of the light personality in us, we are like this man who perishes in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I can't read everything right now because of time, but it speaks about remembering your creator. Now, when you say remember your creator, when you read the scriptures, you have to be elect in the spirit to understand what the spirit is saying. You see it? You must be alert in the spirit to understand, to grab what the spirit is saying. He says, remember the creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come. Of course, the evil days will not come if you remember the creator. In this sense, who is the creator? It's talking about the Lord. It's remembering. Remember the Christ, which is the only life. Besides me, there is no other. Remember that life. See, continue in that life. Walk in that life. Exercise yourself in that life. Because when we forget that life, when we forget the name of the Lord, of which we are one and part and parcel of, the evil days begin to come. We begin to drift away from the days of our youth, the days of singing, the days of Eden. See, we begin to drift away from those days of pleasures. Remember, the meaning of Eden means pleasures. We begin to drift away from the joy of our salvation, from the vitality of God, from that fellowship of joy, of love that we had in God before we were, you know, encompassed with the gross darkness that this world represents. Remember the Lord in the days of your youth. Praise God. Remembrance not only maintains you in the light, it revives those who are dead. Read through the psalmist. The psalmist is always talking about remembering the Lord in his dark hours. In the night season, I meditate upon my bed. Of course, your bed is in hell. Your bed is in the dark, in the pit. See, your bed is in the grave. You see it? Remember the Lord in the days of your youth. Remember him on your bed, in meditation, in prayers. See, that remembrance will bring you into the morning. It will bring you into the day of the Lord. When a man fails to remember, things begin to crumble. See, that is when things begin to fall apart. You begin to lose the days of pleasure. You begin to drift away from the realm of Eden, from the lights, into gross darkness. You begin to lose that awareness of the fellowship of love that God gave to you, that you are a part of from the foundation of the world. See it, the eyes of the understanding begin to cease. Things begin to break down, and you begin to become encompassed with the problems of this world. Hallelujah. And the dust begins to return to the earth. All talks about a descent into continuous descent into the realm of death and hell. Remember the Lord in the days of your youth. Remember. See it. The Lord is your life. That is the eternal life that we are called to lay a hold on. See, have you wondered why Paul says we have to fight the fight of the faith? You have to fight the fight of the faith because you live in a world where nobody will listen to you. Nobody will understand what you are professing to be. See it, unless this revelation is given to you from above, you cannot get it. Fight the good fight of the faith unto the end, not minding the contradiction that this world you're going to face with men, your family members, people will not understand you, your friends in church will not understand you. Some people think you are going nuts. Some people will ask you for a sign. Let us see a sign. Some will wonder why you still have certain problems you have. If you are the son of God. If you are the son of God, save yourself. Many will mock at you. Some will think you've gone, you know, crazy, nuts. And many people along the line get discouraged. See, discouraged, and the mystery of Christ gets choked up in them, and they fail to finish the fight of the faith. They fall by the wayside. Fight the good fight of the faith. Fight it. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. This is what you have been called to do. To lay hold on that life that is being revealed to you today from heaven. Let the focus be on that gift that has been is deposited in you, which is Christ in you. Stir up that gift in you. Continue in this revelation. Don't let the winds of time and doctrine of men, beliefs, systems, conditions in this world cause you to waver and cause you to forget like the people of this world. Because all those who forget God will be cast into hell. All those who forget God sink continuously into hell, into the grave. Praise God. We are called to lay hold on eternal life. That's why we fellowship together, love one another, encourage one another. Hallelujah. Praise God. The other day I received a call from a sister. You know, and you know, trying to encourage me, telling me how much you have been blessed with the messages, and all those things are kind of encouragement. We have to encourage one another. We are brethren. No one is Lord over the other. We are all brethren. We all benefit from the same cup, from the same life, and we are all members of one another. Iron sharpened iron. Praise God. Lay hold on eternal life. Hallelujah. Eternal life is knowing Christ in you. If you know Christ in you, you know that I and the Father are one. Hallelujah. He was revealed from heaven to reveal that we are Christ. We are in Christ. And this is the true God and eternal life. Christ represents the true God and eternal life, and we are part of that eternal Godhead. All of us. If any man walks outside this revelation, he suffers greatly the consequences of sin. He suffers greatly out of ignorance of the great and abundant riches that the Father has freely given to him. Lay hold on eternal life. Eternal life is not living 1,000 years, but rather realizing the mystery of Christ in you. Realizing that life of God in you. Praise God. When you have that life of God in you, you know that you live on forever. See, Jesus Christ lived only a little over 30 years old. But we know that he lived a fulfilled life. That little over 30 years Jesus Christ lived upon the earth, he walked in that eternal life. He experienced that eternal life. And I tell you, those 3 years he walked in his ministry is more valuable than the almost 1,000 years of Methuselah. See, not how long you live. See, but how you can attain to that eternal life of God. See, that I may know him is how I can know that Christ, that how I can experience the revelation, the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead is just awakening. Consciously awakening to the truth. That's resurrection. That I may know him, that I may partake of the resurrection from the dead. First of all, you hear the report, but you have to experience it. And it is real, brethren. With prayers, in fastings, in continuity, in confessions, in patience, in well-doing. Continuity, walking in the light. Because you are light, as he is light. You are one substance. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Praise God. This is the only way we can escape the powers of death. See it. The Son of God we know is not a human. The Son of God we know is not born of a woman. It's not natural. It's not flesh and blood. He's spirit. The Son of God is from eternity. The Son of God is not black, is not white, is not Christian, is not Buddhist. Nothing of this material age is light. Pure light. And it fills all in all. Exercise ourselves in this. Continue in this. This is the eternal life that we are called to lay a hold on. Fight the fight of the faith and lay hold on eternal life. Have you wondered people like Enoch? Enoch, the Bible says, he was taken away. He did not die. He walked with God 300 years. He was taken away. See, all that is a shadow. God used that to just show us how Enoch was dedicated in his walk with God. He fought that fight of the faith. Continuity. And the time came that he was taken. He was not found. Why? Because he continued in the revelation of Christ. Lay hold on eternal life. Praise God. Lay hold on eternal life. Possessing eternal life means that I can never die. I live forever. Of course, living forever does not mean continuing my life as a man forever. Because that life as a man, like James said, is like a vapor that appears, a bubble that appears for a moment and is gone. Don't try to immortalize that life. Let go of that life and lay hold on the true life. See, hitherto, before now, we have all been afraid of death, afraid of what will happen. You see, but one of the reasons he was revealed to in this world was to destroy that fear of death. But I'm talking like space of death here. I'm talking of fear of letting go of your human life. He was revealed to let, you know, to destroy the fear of death. Men of this age are in bondage to that fear of that death, fear of losing their life. Everybody is seeking to keep his life, to prolong his life, to immortalize that life, that human life, but it is not possible. It must go, it must dissolve forever and ever and ever. It must, like the vapor, disappear forever, vanish forever. They've all tried it. Many have tried over the age to immortalize themselves, the pharaohs. These men who thought they could gather riches unto themselves to kind of prolong their lives upon the earth, but they could not. It is not possible. See, but there's a life that abides forever. A life that is beautiful, pleasurable, without flaw. And that is the life of the Spirit. It is the life of Christ, the Son of the Living God. Praise God. This is the eternal life we have been called to lay hold on. God bless you.
Make you to shine.